Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Believe it or not, it's October 18th. And as we look at the calendar, this year is zipping by. Black Friday, the biggest shopping day of the year, is right around the corner. Can you believe it's almost time for holiday shopping? Black Friday, it's usually the Friday after Thanksgiving. Diehard shoppers are probably already at it, seeking the best deals on the best products out there. You had Amazon Prime Day this last week, and I know the Christmas decorations are up in the stores. And I don't know about you, but when I shop for certain items, not for everything, for some things I'll go for the cheapest thing I can get just to get the best, the cheapest price. But for certain things that I shop for, I want to get the most value out of my purchase. On certain things, I do not like to buy knockoffs. On certain things, I don't like to buy cheap imitations. On some things, the price may be right on certain products, but my experience is that with certain things, you really do get what you pay for. So on certain items, I like to do my research. And I, you know, for certain things, I really like to kick the tires, so to speak, to make sure that I am getting everything that I am going to pay for. For instance, if I have to purchase new tires for my car, I'm not going to purchase the cheapest tires. I'm going to probably spend a little bit more money because I've learned over time that I get better quality when I buy a higher level quality tire. And I think that 2020 has been one of those years that is testing the quality of a great many of our past purchases. And I'm not talking about things that you bought at the grocery store or Walmart or online. I'm talking about the values, the ideas, the beliefs that you've bought into, not with your wallet, but with your heart and with your soul. And for many, I think it's natural for us to question if we've invested in the right things in times of crisis. You want to buy a car that's dependable. You want shoes that'll be reliable. You want clothing that will be durable. We want to invest. We want to know that we're investing in things that last. And if those purchases fail to meet our expectations, we are disappointed. Our hearts are broken, and we inevitably wind up shopping for alternatives that work. That's just kind of the way this world works. I think it's safe to say that the events of 2020, the pandemic, the economic downturn, all the craziness in politics, the events of this year are pushing even the strongest among us to question our faith. And if that's so, it's going to push those who are on the fence about their faith even harder to ask the simple question, why should I believe in God? You're like, wow, Pastor, that's some pretty heavy stuff hearing your pastor say that. Why should I believe in God? I think that there are a lot of gravitational forces in play right now that have the potential to drag people away from faith in God, especially if they're finding themselves on the fence. These people, they may be what we would call, what we've been calling the walking wounded. Wounded in spiritual warfare that's going on out there. So followers of Jesus, we have to be prepared. Over the past 4 weeks, we've been focusing on our calling to provide first aid to those who are in need. Well, we need to be grounded in some essential truths if we're going to be able to help people who find themselves wounded and asking, why should I believe in God? They may look at COVID-19 and the pandemic and say, where is God in all of this? They may have been negatively impacted or have family members negatively impacted by the economic pressures that have hit households in our faith family, in our community. And they may be asking, why would God let that happen? They may be facing cancer diagnosis, sorrow, depression, suffering, or even death. And in their woundedness, they may be asking, how could a God who loves us let all this nasty stuff happen? They may find themselves asking, why should I even keep trying? Why should I keep believing? Where's the payoff? None of this is making sense to me. And I think that as people following Jesus, we're going to run into this around our sphere of influence quite a bit. We may be experiencing it ourselves. And what I want to do is focus on how we answer these questions, how we are prepared to provide first aid to people who may be asking these hard questions in these difficult times. For us to help people who are asking the hard questions, and we may find ourselves asking these questions also in our own heads and in our own hearts, I want to spend the next few weeks answering the question, why should I believe in God? And my answer to this question, I can't put in one sermon. So we're going to have to split this up over a couple of weeks. I feel compassion for people who are asking tough questions. I myself can even empathize. I'm a human being. But I can tell you, I can say that in the face of the pandemic, in the face of all the volatility that's going on in our communities and our nation, even in the face of cancer taking my dad this past summer, in the face of all those challenging circumstances, I can tell you from my experience that my faith in God has actually been strengthened in 2020. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm not saying that to lord that over anybody. I'm just saying that's been my experience. I've gone through a lot this year. You have too. In the face of everything that I've faced, I feel like my faith in God has been strengthened. My faith in God has been a wonderful comfort over the past several months. My faith in God, it's giving me a confidence to move forward, even in the midst of uncertainty. My faith in God has really stoked the fire of hope in my heart. And I'm not just saying that today. That's just really where I'm at. And I understand that not everyone is where I'm at. So for those who may find themselves asking, why should I believe in God? I want to spend some time sharing my reasons for believing. Even when the gravitational forces of this world try to pull us from an orbit of faith into an orbit of doubt, they try to suck us down into the wormhole. People are asking hard questions, but I believe God's shoulders are broad enough for even the hardest questions. Don't be afraid to ask hard questions. Don't be afraid to ask hard questions. It's easy to ask hard questions. The key is, do you have the courage to face the answers to those hard questions that we find in our faith in God? So let's get into it this morning. We're going to ask some hard questions. When people ask, why should I believe in God in the midst of everything that's going on right now? My first reason that I want to focus on this week, why should I believe in God? My first reason to believe is this, because the Bible tells me so. Why should I believe in God? Because the Bible tells me to believe in God. That may seem like a very trite answer to you this morning where you're at. But if you think about it, the Bible is the one tangible piece of God that we can touch and feel for certain. Yeah, we can touch the Bible. We can open the Bible. I think of all the many Bibles that I have, and most of them are leather-backed, and a Bible has a smell to it. The feel of the paper, it's a different kind of paper. It's not just the kind of paper you'd get out of a printer. It's not even like newspaper print. The Bible is the one tangible piece of God that we can touch and feel. It is square one on the game board. The Bible is a gift. The Bible is a resource that can help us make sense of things when things don't make sense. But the Bible is not just a book. It's not just a collection of books. It is alive. And you've probably heard that before, but this morning I'm going to just say what I'm saying to remind you of the reality of what's going on with the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active." It's not just a book on the shelf. The word of God is living and is active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God is alive. This is foundational, and it's something that I think that we have to be reminded of, because the Bible isn't just any book. It is special, but it's often misunderstood and misused. I think the Bible sometimes is used as a baseball bat rather than a balm for healing. And it's often misunderstood. It's often misused. It's often, you know, something that fuels doubt rather than feeding our faith. And one of the things I think it's important for us to remember, and this What I'm going to share with you, it's really just a reminder. We need to hear this. Somebody needs to tell us. The Bible is a special book. It is primarily a spiritual book. I want you to focus in on that. The Bible is primarily a spiritual book. It is not primarily a history book. A lot of people like to look at the history of the Bible and they like to question inconsistencies and things like that. Well, good. Yeah, it's going to be inconsistent, but it's not a history. It was never intended to be a textbook, a history book that had dates and times and it was, you know, exactly accurate. Because if you start studying the Bible with a very critical eye, you will find inconsistencies from a factual and historical standpoint. But fear not, my friends. Don't worry. It's not a history book. It's primarily a spiritual book. The Bible is not a science book. And I think especially in our modernism, we like to try to stack the Bible up with science texts. And for some people, their faith is really shook because the science book doesn't match up with the Bible book. Well, the Bible is not meant to be a scientific textbook. It is not meant to explain how atoms and amoeba and all that stuff work in their finest detail. It is meant to point us to the Creator, but it is not a science book. A science book, the method of science is all about figuring out how the creation works. It is, and when we study how creation works, it does inform us a little bit about the Creator. But the Bible is not a science book. And a lot of people get hung up thinking that it is a science book, but it's not. It's primarily a spiritual book. The Bible is not a cultural guidebook. Okay? The Bible was written thousands of years ago in a different culture and a different time. And so it would be inappropriate and totally irrelevant to for us to apply some of the cultural things in the Bible to our modern 2020 culture that we live in the United States of America. For instance, if we lived according to the Bible, women would have to cover their heads. Pastor Vicky wouldn't be able to be a pastor. There are just a lot of irrelevant things, non-essential things culturally that we get caught up in with the Bible, and we get confused and it creates doubt in our faith. That's because the Bible is not a cultural guidebook. The Bible is primarily a spiritual book. It's a book about spiritual matters. It's a book about spiritual realities. The Bible's a book about spiritual destiny, and we need to be grounded in that reality. We need to be reminded of that on a regular basis. Otherwise, we make it into something it's not, and it can really fuel doubt in our lives. The Bible is about what is going on beyond what our eyes can see. The Bible is about what is going on beyond what our ears can hear. The Bible is about what is going on spiritually. You know, we've talked about spiritual warfare in the past couple of weeks. The Bible is about what's going on in that realm, what's going on in the spiritual realm. And it's not necessarily cultural. It's not necessarily historical. It's not about the science. It is a spiritual guidebook. The Bible has endured. Think about this. The Bible has endured for 2 millennia, 2,000 years, more than that when you think about the Old Testament. It has endured because it strikes a chord within our hearts. It strikes a chord with humanity. And you know, I step back and I think about why the Bible has endured. And I think it's because at the end of the day, when you boil it all down, the Bible is that book that contains everything you and I need to know about how to have a relationship with God. It's a spiritual book, and its main purpose is to tell us what we need to know about how to be reconciled with God and how to relate with God and how to relate with humanity in the way things were originally designed. Why should I believe in God? Because the Bible tells me so. Well, Pastor, how can I trust the Bible? How can I trust the Bible? Let me tell you, the scriptures have been debated. The scriptures have been translated. The scriptures have been studied and torn apart for thousands of generations. We accept their authenticity today by faith. A lot of us do because somebody told us to believe the Bible. But I want you to know that I accept the authenticity and the authority of the Bible because it has been thoroughly scrutinized by scholarship, by academics, by historians. The scriptures, I think this is really interesting for us. I think sometimes we feel like we've got to defend the Bible, but the scriptures are meant to be scrutinized. The scriptures are meant to be questioned. Did you know that? The scriptures are meant to be scrutinized and questioned. There is as much history behind the scrutiny of the scriptures as there is of any other body of work in history. They have been scrutinized. I mean, you talk about the congressional hearings for Supreme Court candidates that we watch on television, all the hard questions. The Bible, if you think about it, has been through that type of scrutiny and even more. And yet the Bible remains one of the most popular books in the world. And the mystery is that when we question the scriptures, when we scrutinize the scriptures personally, not letting somebody else do it, but when we question the scriptures, when we scrutinize the scriptures, when we personally test the scriptures, that is when the Word of God comes alive and winds up in a strange way, as that scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 said, when we question the scriptures wind up questioning our hearts. When we scrutinize the scriptures wind up scrutinizing our motives. When we wind up testing the scriptures, the scriptures wind up testing our own souls. The Word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged knife. We can trust the Bible as a spiritual guide because it has withstood the test of time and the scrutiny and the scholarship of the ages. The Bible is a gift from God to you and I. Yes, it's written by humans. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit over the ages, and it's all intended us to tell the story of humanity. And that's not just a historical story that the Bible's telling us with dates and names and events. You're like, oh, I hate history, Pastor. That's okay, because it's not a history book. But if we allow it, the Bible tells us the story of who we all are, deep down in the depths of our soul. The Bible is a book that actually tells us a story about ourselves. So that leads me to my next question. We can trust the Bible. So what does the Bible tell us that we should, you know, what does it tell us that gives us reasons that we should believe in God? And I think that, you know, we need to be reminded of this every so often because we get sucked into the complexities of life. And sometimes we get sucked into the complexities of the scripture and we have theological debates and arguments and sometimes divisions in the church because we major on the minors and we don't major on the majors. And so this morning, as part of our worship together, I just want to remind us of what the Bible tells us that helps us to believe in God. First of all, it tells us that God is the creator. God created the heavens and the earth. So if you want to go back to and read your Bible, read the story in Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 3. God created the heavens and the earth as an arena in which fellowship could take place. God wanted to create an arena where he could fellowship with the creation. And so he created the heavens and the earth. God created a place where creation could thrive and grow and interact with God as the creator. God created the heavens and the earth. That's the first thing. The second thing that the scriptures tell us is that God is love. God is love. At the core of God's nature is a love for all of creation. It is a love that's all about the object and not about God himself. God so loved the creation. That's what we read in John chapter 3:16. God's love is not a self-absorbing love. God's not a self-loving God. God is a God of love that projects love actively on the created. It's a love that's all about the object, not about God loving himself. God's love is about giving. It's always about giving. It's about generosity. It's about handing out grace and mercy and justice. That is who God is. God is love. So God is the creator. God is love. The third thing the scriptures tell us is that God created humanity. God created us in God's own image. Yeah, you've heard that 1,000 times before, but this morning I want to bring you back to the reality that you have been created in the image of God. You're like, no, that was Jesus. No. You, I want you to bask in that for a couple of moments. I want you to even say it with me. I have been created in the image of God. Can you say that? I have been created in the image of God. Scripture tells us that God created humanity in God's own image. And in order for God to be true to God's character, humanity is endowed with a very special and unique trait. And that special, unique trait, that special ingredient that makes us uniquely human is free will. We get the ability to choose with no outside influences. We get to independently choose in our lives. God is love, and God's love for humanity is so great that he gives us the choice, the freedom to go our own way, even if it's not his way. That is love. If you love someone, set them free. Isn't that how that old song goes? The freedom to choose, it works great when our choices align with God's will. But when we decide to go our own way, it goes against the nature of the Creator, and it goes against the nature of creation. And we'll go into this more in another sermon. But needless to say, as the story goes, as we all know, humanity abused its free will. God gave us free will out of love. He made us just like him. And as part of being made in the image of God, he gave us free will. And humanity has this tendency to abuse free will, free agency, the ability to choose what we want. And in abusing free will, our free will, we wind up fracturing. We wind up marring. We wind up ruining the perfect creation that God created in the Garden of Eden. That's the story of Adam and Eve. God created them. He loved them. He loved fellowshipping with them. He gave them free will. And what did they do? As soon as they were told not to bite from the tree in the middle of the garden, they went and did it. They abused their free will. And it winds up marring and fracturing and ruining the creation and creating separation from God. And that creates a crisis in this whole story. That is the crisis, is that we abused our free will. We ruined the whole thing. Abuse of free will, otherwise known as sin, it creates this breach so that humanity is separated from the Creator. And barring some sort of intervention, humanity is destined to suffer and lack relationship with God. So what does God do? That's the fourth point. That's the fourth point of the story that the Bible teaches us. God sets into motion a rescue mission. God knew this was going to happen. Jesus is not a plan B. And God activates the rescue mission. And in John 3:16, that rescue mission is summarized. It goes like this: for God so loved the creation. For God so loved the created that God gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever would believe in Jesus will not perish, but will regain what was lost in the fall of humanity and the abuse of free will, and will receive a restored relationship with the Creator and with the creation, and will also receive eternal life. God initiates a rescue mission so that our relationship with him can be restored, our relationship with creation can be restored, our relationship with others can be made right. Ultimately, the Bible reminds us, when you think about those four things that the Bible teaches us, the Bible reminds us that God is faithful. That is the primary purpose of Scripture. It is a spiritual book. And one of the primary things it does, it reminds us that God is faithful. Even when we're faithless, even when we're full of doubt, the Bible's full of stories of people who walk the other direction. When God says go this way, they go that way. When God says be faithful, people are faithless. The Bible reminds us that God is faithful, and he is in the business of rescuing humanity from its abuse of free will. Why should I believe in God? Because the Bible tells us so. We need to be reminded of what the Bible tells us. Someone within earshot today just needs to be reminded of that overarching story. God so loves you that he has sent Jesus to rescue you and restore that relationship that was always intended to be had with him. Now, the enemy is going to tempt us, especially in 2020. The enemy is going to tempt us to doubt. The enemy is going to tempt us to want to give up. The enemy's strategy is to create so much skepticism in our minds that we give up on God. full stop. I want you to hear what I just said because some of you missed it. You need to get a bead in on what the enemy's trying to do. The enemy's strategy is to create so much skepticism in your heart and in your mind and your soul that you just simply decide to give up and give up your faith in God. And I think a critical strategy to not get sucked into that lie is to make sure that we get anchored in the Word of God and that we remain anchored in the Word of God. Get anchored in the Word of God and remain anchored in the Word of God. The Bible is a firm foundation upon which to build our lives. It will help us weather the storms of doubt. It'll help us weather the storm of questions that come. It will remind us that there is something happening beyond what we can see, beyond what we can hear, beyond what we can touch, beyond what we can smell or feel with our fingers or our hearts. There is something else happening. There is more going on than meets the eye. And the Bible helps us to understand that. The Bible reminds us that there is more going on than our eyes can see or our ears can hear. And we need reminded of that, simply. We all need to be reminded of that so we can remain grounded in the truth of what's really going on, so that we can grow in our faith, so that we can hold on for dear life sometimes when the wind's blowing. Don't be intimidated by the scriptures. I run into so many people and they feel like that book is so big and I just don't think I can do it. Don't be intimidated by the scriptures. Instead, be comforted by them, even in little bite-sized pieces. You don't have to read the whole thing in one setting. You don't have to understand it all right now. Don't be intimidated by the scriptures. Engage the scriptures and be comforted. Don't be afraid to kick the tires of the word. Ask hard questions. Ask hard questions. Explore what the word says. When it doesn't make sense, seek and ask and discuss with others. I think you'll find that the hard questions have good answers. And don't fail to open the word and let it come to life in your life. One thing I know is true, the scriptures will never come to life for you if your Bible simply collects dust on your nightstand or on your shelf. We have to open it up to let it come to life. It's not going to help you just by having it. I think some people feel like, oh, if I just have a Bible but next to my bed, I'll be protected. No, it's going to be useless to you. If you fail to open it up, if you fail to engage in it, it will never come to life for you. You have to engage in it. You have to read it. You have to get anchored in it. When we accept Jesus into our hearts, we are making the best purchase ever. We are making the best purchase ever. But we'll never realize the full value of that decision unless we take that book off the shelf, open it up, and let it transform our hearts and minds. And it may not happen every time that you engage it, but we need to engage the word on a regular basis so it can change, transform, and challenge us. And when the questions come, and they will, why should I believe in God? Just simply live into the reality, because the Bible tells me so. Some of us need to be reminded to open up that book a little bit more so that we can engage in it and it can breathe life into our hearts and souls. Some of us simply just needed to be reminded today of the story of God's faithfulness. I hope this is helpful for you today. Why should I believe in God? Because the Bible tells me so. Keep reading the stories. Keep studying the stories. I'm reminded of that hymn. It's an old hymn of the church. It says, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell the story, engage the story. As we tell the story to others, as we engage in the story by reading it, we will quickly realize that the scriptures are coming alive in our lives and we suddenly aren't just telling the story. We're not just reading the story, but the story is being lived out. The story continues in each and every one of us, even in hard times, even when we have questions, even when we're going through adversity. And it strengthens our faith, it strengthens our relationship with God, and it helps us to have the confidence to move forward in life. Why should I believe in God? Because the Bible tells me so.
thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.